This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Oh, there's more in Delphi. And that's why we're here on this video today, or this piece of audio, depending on where you're getting it, wherever you get podcasts, or on YouTube. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our updates as we continue to dig into and follow this story. What we're going to dig into today, we're actually going to go through the legal document, the motion that's been put out by Richard Allen's attorneys. And let me show you exactly kind of what we're talking about here. It's if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see it. It's the legalese document, but it's in fairly layman's terms as we break our way through it, which we'll do in just a moment. It says, defendant's verified motion to preserve and produce specific evidence. What is this about? Well, it's about evidence. It's about evidence that, you know, when you try a case, what you're supposed to do is, preserve any evidence that comes in. And in a little process called discovery, you're required by law that you need to share that with the opposing counsel. That's how our court system works. Everybody has the fair information that exists out there to prosecute or defend themselves in the case. What gets tricky is when one side ignores a lot of evidence or pretends it doesn't exist or blatantly hides it or deletes it, you know, kind of like what we've been seeing allegedly in Delphi for the last, many years. This coming on the heels, of course, of Richard Allen being convicted and going to prison for the rest of his life. Now, we dig deeper because, you know, we want to find the truth because it doesn't really look like Richard Allen is the guy. And if he is, you know, I'm happy to stand corrected. But why are so many questions unanswered? Why were so many leads ignored? Especially when you have people who allegedly have confessed to this crime, who were on the property where it occurred, who made up false alibis before anyone even knew there was a murder, whose digital devices put them at the murder scene, whose communications online put them talking to the minor girls as adults, and then one of them gets busted for child porn. They were talking about meeting the girls that day, by the way, the guy that got busted for child porn. He has nothing to do with it, of course. Nothing. Nothing at all. That's Keegan Klein. And I'm not saying he does. I'm saying just look at the evidence. And Ron Logan's our other general person of interest here, who the FBI said is your person of interest, and Delphi said, nah. I think the CVS guy is spookier. All right, so here we go. We're going through the legal document. I'm going to go word for word as best we can, and if I need to skim over a little legalese or, when we have to refer to document names or motions numbers and things like that. So Richard Allen, by counsel, now comes before the court with his verified motion and moves this court to order the state of Indiana to preserve certain specific evidence and to produce that evidence to the defense. In support of the motion, Richard Allen states the following. Here we go. And this is all coming together with that prison confession that allegedly took place of Ron Allen and many, many, many letters that were sent by another gentleman, Ricky Davis, who is speaking out and going, look, I've been telling you this for a long time and nobody wanted to hear it. So here we go. Number one. On February 12th of 2025, Richard Allen's counsel, Andrew Baldwin, met with inmate Ricky Davis at the Newcastle Correctional Facility. Two, during their meeting, Mr. Davis informed attorney Baldwin of the following. A, he, Ricky Davis, was in a unique position of having met both Keegan Klein and Ron Logan during their stays at Newcastle Correctional Facility. B, he, Ricky Davis, talked with Ron Logan about the Delphi murders on multiple occasions over the course of time Logan confessed to his involvement in the murders, along with two other people. C, during those conversations, Logan provided certain details of the crime that only the actual killer would know, but never divulged into the two other people involved in the murders. D, in or around March of 2024, Keegan Klein was placed in the same general area as Ricky Davis. At some point, apparently learned that Ricky Davis had talked to Ron Logan while Logan was incarcerated in Newcastle. E, over time, Keegan Klein questioned Ricky Davis as to Ricky Davis's conversation with Ron Logan and whether Logan had ever mentioned his Keegan Klein's name to Ricky Davis during those conversations. Filed 2-14-25, 4:21 p.m., Carroll Circuit Court, Carroll County, Indiana. Page 2. Ricky Davis began to realize that Klein may have been one of the other members of the crew that Logan described as being involved in the murders. You know, the guy that's in the kiddie porn that's in prison now, Keegan Klein? Yeah. Gee, over time, Keegan Klein began to reveal information about the Delphi murders that corroborated details Ron Logan had revealed to Ricky Davis several years earlier. H, some of the details Keegan Klein provided to Ricky Davis are the types of details that could only be known by someone involved in the killings. I, these conversations between Ricky Davis and Keegan Klein occurred all the way up to the guilty verdict, at which time Klein expressed his relief that Klein would no longer be a viable suspect in the murders due to Richard Allen's conviction. Surprise, Keegan. We're not letting this go. J, not knowing whether Richard Allen could be the third person involved in the murders, Ricky Davis asked Keegan Klein whether Mr. Allen was the third person involved in the murders. Klein replied that Richard Allen was not the third person and had nothing to do with the murders. K, Keegan Klein further revealed to Ricky Davis that he, Klein, and Logan knew each other through the sharing of child pornography that they shared on burner phones, and that further, they, Klein and Logan, would see each other every 3 to 6 months so that Klein could assist Logan with using the burner phones because Logan was inept working with electronic devices. Ricky Davis further explained that once Keegan Klein began revealing his role in the murders, sometime in the summer and fall of 24 before Mr. Allen's October trial, he, Ricky Davis, began sending letters to Nick McClellan, providing many of the details of he, Ricky Davis's conversations with Keegan Klein in 24 and Ron Logan in 2017. Ricky Davis indicated that he believes he sent as many as 8 letters to McClellan's office, here and after the Davis letters, and presumed that McClellan was sharing the contents of those letters with Richard Allen's defense team. You know, like you're supposed to do. And attorney Baldwin met with Ricky Davis on March 27th of 2024 and learned very limited information from Ricky Davis, who encouraged Baldwin to watch a videotaped interview law enforcement conducted years earlier. On their February 12th, 2025 meeting, Ricky Davis further admitted that when attorney Baldwin met with Ricky Davis on March 27th of 24, that he, Ricky Davis, did not provide all of the details that he knew at the time to attorney Baldwin for two reasons. One, he, Ricky Davis, had not yet heard of the many details that Keegan Klein ultimately provided to him, including that Keegan Klein was involved in the crime and that he, Keegan Klein, knew Ron Logan. And two, at that time, he met with attorney Baldwin in 2024. He, Ricky Davis, could not be sure whether Richard Allen was one of the other two people that Ron Logan described also being involved in the murders. Mr. Davis stated that he was guarded during their March 27th, 2024 meeting with Baldwin because he, Davis, on to page 3, did not necessarily want to assist Richard Allen's defense counsel if he, Richard Allen, was one of the three men that Ron Logan stated was involved in the murders. P, again, in his March 27th, 2024 meeting with Baldwin, Ricky Davis told Baldwin that he, Baldwin, could learn the details of what Ricky Davis told law enforcement by watching his videotaped interview that law enforcement should have in their possession from when they, law enforcement, interviewed Ricky Davis sometime years before at their February 12, 2025 meeting. Ricky Davis was shocked to learn that Baldwin had never received his videotaped interview. 3 following his March 27, 2024 visit with Ricky Davis the next day, March 28, 2024. At 11:49 p.m., Attorney Baldwin emailed both Nick McClelland and Stacey Diener requesting that they turn over law enforcement's videotaped interview of Ricky Davis, in which Davis presumably provided details of Ron Logan's confession on videotape. To date, shocker here, the prosecution has never provided any videotaped Ricky Davis interview to the defense, nor explained why it has never done so, nor stated no such videotape exists, and have ignored the request. Approximately 8 letters Ricky Davis claims to have sent to McClelland in the months leading up to October 2024 trial would contain multiple layers of exculpatory evidence which the defense could have used to further its investigation as to whether certain facts contained in those letters could be verified through crime scene photographs, digital data, and a variety of other means. 6, defense counsel has never seen the Davis letters, nor known of their existence until after the trial, when defense counsel met with Mr. Davis on February 12, 2025. Also, the prosecutor has never informed the defense counsel of the existence of any such letters. On the evening of February 12, 2025, defense counsel Baldwin sent an email to Nick McClelland and his in-house investigator, Steve Mullen, requesting they produce both the Davis those letters and any video recording in their possession of an interview with Ricky Davis. McClelland's response was vague, non-responsive to the defense request, and did not indicate whether he, McClelland, ever received those letters, nor whether he sent those letters to the defense. In other words, McClelland never confirmed or denied the existence of said letters. On to page 4, neither did he confirm nor deny that he provided those aforementioned Ricky Davis letters to defense counsel. 8, on February 13th and 25, at 3:54 p.m., Attorney Baldwin sent another email to McClelland asking straightforward questions. Did you receive multiple letters from Ricky Davis in the months leading up to Richard Allen's October 2024 trial? And if so, did you turn those letters over to the defense? These should be questions easily answered and quickly answered. If McClelland never received such letters, he should know that answer immediately, since Ricky Davis claims that he, Ricky Davis, sent the letters directly to Nick McClelland. And if McClelland did receive such letters, he should know that answer immediately. Furthermore, if he did receive such letters, he should very quickly be able to identify the dates that he sent those letters to defense and how he sent them to the defense, i.e. email, e-discovery, etc. 9, as of the time of the filing of this document, McClelland has failed to answer these simple, straightforward questions. 10, the defense has reviewed all e-discovery from March of 24 to the present to determine whether the prosecution provided the Davis letters to the defense to determine if those letters were hidden among other discovery. The defense found no such letters penned by Ricky Davis addressed to Nick McClelland in the e-discovery. The defense has reviewed all emails during the applicable time frame to determine whether McClelland ever forwarded an email with attached letters from Ricky Davis. No such emails exist. 12, the defense requests that the court order McClelland's office, as well as any law enforcement agency, to preserve any letters from Ricky Davis in their possession and further to turn them over to the defense immediately. 13, the defense similarly requests the court order McClelland's office, as well as any law enforcement agency, to preserve any video recordings of an interview with Ricky Davis in their possession and further to turn such video recordings over to the defense immediately. The defense is concerned that without an order from the court, the prosecution and or law enforcement may lose the Davis letters, as well as the videotaped interviews of Ricky Davis, or that the state of Indiana may refuse to turn them over to the defense. 15, the defense's concern is well-founded based upon law enforcement's history in the case of losing evidence as documented before during trial, including claiming they taped over certain important videotaped interviews. So it's not like they're coming out of this going, oh, they could never lose this material. Why on earth would anyone think that that could possibly happen? Because it already has. 16, the defense can produce a witness with admissible evidence that in the months before Mr. Allen's trial, the prosecution received some number of letters from Ricky Davis and that those letters had been given to the people investigating the case. The defense had a constitutional right to know of the existence of the Davis letters so that the defense could conduct its own investigation concerning the contents of those letters, including conducting depositions that would naturally flow from the facts alleged in those letters. 18. Had the defense known of the Davis letters before trial, it could have used those letters to further its investigation, present them to this court at the hearing on August 1st of 2024 on third-party suspect culpability and factored in the information contained in those letters into its trial strategy. 19. Had the defense received those letters after the verdict, then the defense could have incorporated those letters into its motion to correct order. Conclusion. For the foregoing reason, the defendant respectfully requests that the court order the prosecution and any law enforcement agency to preserve any letters from Ricky Davis in their possession, to immediately turn over the defense any letters from Ricky Davis in their possession, and to preserve any videoed recordings of interviews with Ricky Davis in their possession, to immediately turn over to the defense any video recordings of interviews with Ricky Davis in their possession, and to preserve all records in whatever form and communications, electronic or other, including emails and text messages pertaining to Ricky Davis. That is the motion. Now, what exactly happens from here in the terms of the prosecution or the police department or what? Well, these letters right here. That doesn't exist. Never saw them, never heard of them. What are you speaking of? That could happen. Or they could go, here you go. Here's the letters. Enjoy. We're going to ignore any motions you make. You're going to have to really, you know, take this up the line of command in the courts to get any, you know, real leverage on this. And even if it does bounce back here, we're just going to say, eh. You know, like they have been. Or we could look at this case. We could actually figure out who killed these kids. Or we can keep covering something up that nobody really knows why we're covering it up. But I think we're learning a little bit more about the folks in Delphi that allegedly have a thing for kiddie porn. If these accusations are true. And you know, these folks, they run in packs. They're birds of a feather. And if they're exchanging their fucking shit, their images and whatever, it does make you wonder, why? Why are we protecting these people? Or someone else involved in this little ring of just disgusting behavior? Sharing child porn? Is someone in power involved in this, that if we start going down the yellow brick road of what the fuckery here, are we going to end up finding some people that maybe, oh God, you're involved too? I sure hope not. But it does make you wonder. It's not like these are wonderful, upstanding citizens here. Keegan Klein and Ron Logan, who's now deceased. God do not rest his soul. Why such vitriolic protection of these characters? They had nothing to do with it. They had nothing to do with it. But according to some evidence here, it's worth looking into a little bit. Or a lot. Check the box off, at the very least. And if it doesn't quite tell you what you want to hear, because it takes the case in a different direction, or it takes the case in a direction of someone that you've been told, we don't go there. Mm-mm. No. We don't go there. If something leads this way, we stop, we turn around, we blame the CVS guy. Just keep going back to the CVS guy, because there was a bullet there. He had a gun, even though he doesn't really pertain to him, but you know. The hell's going on? We're getting closer. We're going to find out more. And those people are still around, which I don't know if they are. I think justice will eventually be served here. but it's going to take an effort. It's going to take outcry. It's going to take your voices being heard. So if you're as outraged about this as I am and as many, many, many people are, let them be heard. Share this story. Leave your comments. You know, reach out to the folks in Delphi. Demand that they look at these things, that the truth be shown, that these other documents that, like NBC Universal and the evidence they're asking to be released, is released. Because our voices out here, they matter too. These prosecutors and the defense attorneys specifically for Richard Allen are doing everything that they can. But without a microscope on this case, which they didn't have this whole time, but they do now. Without that, they're just going to keep shoving stuff under the rug. I don't know why. I'm not saying they're doing anything corrupt. It could be they believe they have the right guy. It could be they're ignorant to these other facts and they never just wanted to see them. It could be they're hiding something too and they don't want anybody to know about it, so we all better just shut up and move along. Well, we're not shutting up and moving along. Because there's more to this story, and we all know it. Because when things don't make sense, we don't have the full story. And that's what we're going to keep pushing for. I hope you'll continue to join us as we continue to go down that road to get real justice for Abby and Libby. And hopefully, if Richard Allen truly has nothing to do with this, gets to go back and gets to be a dad, and two kids get their dad back too, because they lost someone. For what reason? It's a question everybody needs to ask themselves.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. You just made it through an episode of Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Congrats on surviving the ads. Want to skip them completely next time?
What is that?
Join the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts. Ad-free episodes, exclusive early access, and no interruptions. Just pure crime storytelling. Try it free for 3 days. Don't wait.
Bitchin' stuff. Dude.
Hit subscribe now on Apple Podcasts and get ahead of the mystery.
You know what I'm saying? Come on.